Good morning, everyone. Very glad that you're here. We've got several of our regulars and plenty of visitors as well. I'm glad that you're here. Hope that you've felt welcome and encouraged by what we do here. And of course, to our members, I'm encouraged, and I thank you. There's something so unifying about getting to sing together. No matter where you're at in your life or whatever things, positive or negative, you're dealing with, we all come and we praise God together because He's been good to each one of us. I'm thankful for you. I appreciate you all. Our lesson for this service is titled Thanks Always and for Everything. Imagine some of our visitors are here for the holiday that's coming up. If you're visiting and you're not here for the holiday, that's just fine. Don't mind. I don't mean to single you out or anything, but this is one of those holidays that I do feel inclined to speak about in a sermon and to turn our attention to what God's Word has to say. I don't feel that way about every holiday. You'll be remiss if you go through the archives looking for a Labor Day sermon or anything like that. But I think Thanksgiving is close enough to an integral part of the Christian life. Not just about enjoying good food that God's made or being with our families. Those are good and right on their own, but gratitude is really at the heart of the Christian faith. We're thankful for what God has done for us. And we live our lives serving Him because He's done so much for us, and we're grateful. Our nation is going to take the time to think about gratitude and what they're thankful for, and Christians more than anyone should be at the front of the people doing that this weekend. So what we're going to do this morning, just for our lesson, just so you kind of know what to expect, we're going to look about and think about why it is that we're thankful, why we praise God and thank Him for what He does for us, about what some of those blessings might be. And then the lesson will be done. So you have an end goal in sight. Let's start with the question, why do we praise God? Why do we praise God? What's the reason? It's because we always do. Why are you singing this morning? Is it because it's just regular? You know, sing every Sunday, might as well sing this one. First and foremost, the reason that we praise God is because He deserves it. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah, chapter 40. This will be right near the middle of your Bible if you have trouble finding it. One of the trademarks of the prophet Isaiah is his incredibly high view of God. Some of the great statements of praise and adoration in our Bibles are spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Some of the most memorable lines in our hymns are based off of things that Isaiah says about God. We think about why we praise Him and why we're thankful to God. It's because He deserves it. We praise Him because it's almost like a law of nature. We have to praise God because He is our maker. He's the one that has created the universe and upholds it by the word of His power. There would be no life, there would be nothing good if it were not for God. So we have to praise Him. Look at what Isaiah 40 says here in verse 12. It's a rhetorical question. He says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, marked off the heavens by a span, calculated the dust of the earth by measure, weighed the mountains in a balance, and the hills in a pair of scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor has informed Him? With whom did He consult, and who gave Him understanding? Who taught Him the path of justice, and taught Him knowledge, and informed Him in the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. They are regarded as a speck on the dust in the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom then will we liken you, O God? What likeness is there to compare with him? Isaiah asked the rhetorical question, who is like the Lord? And there's no one. He says he's measured off the waters in the hollow of his hand. I'm struck by that every time I go to the ocean. I realize it's a simple thought. I have a few of those every now and then. And you go to the beach and it's like an unimaginable amount of water. I sit there on the beach and other people are enjoying their time and they're having fun with their family. I'm sitting at the beach and I think, how many gallons of water is out there? It's like, can't even put a number to it. You know, like the water comes and goes and comes and goes, and the further you go, the deeper it gets. It's endless. It seems endless to us. And Isaiah says, who can hold the waters of the earth in the palm of his hand? Like, God is so much greater than all the things he's made. Or he says here, the next line, who has marked off the heavens by the span? You're building things in the ancient world. One of the ways you measured was with a span, which is the distance from your pinky to your thumb. It's an average distance. Obviously, people have different sized hands. But the sky is measured off from horizon to horizon. You think how far that must be. And to God, it's something he could fit in his hand. It's nothing to him. And he goes on to talk this way. Who in the world has taught the Lord what he knows? The answer is obvious. No one. God is the one who teaches everyone else. He needs no understanding. He's so much greater than everything we see. And all of us, whether we are people who have been Christians for decades or whether you're someone who does not know the Lord, maybe you're not a follower of Christ and you're here today, every single one of us will benefit by revering God more than we do today. Every single one of us has room to better appreciate just how great our God is. Because you don't get to the bottom of it. You can ask some of the people who have been Christians the longest here in this room. Have you understood God yet? Do you know just how great he is? And say, I'm just now starting. I feel like it's even greater than when I began in my faith. Why do we praise God? You know, we have our song service Sunday mornings and on Wednesday night. Why do we sing? Because he deserves it, first and foremost. That our God is great and awesome, and he deserves to be praised. But our praise to God is not merely an abstract concept. We don't praise God because, well, we just kind of have to, because he deserves it. We praise God because he is great and because he has taken thought to us. The God that we serve is not just an idea. It's not just a concept. He's not far from us. We serve a God who is personal and who knows us personally. If you turn in your Bible now to Psalm 100, this will be right in the middle of your Bible. Turn left from Isaiah. Psalm 100 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. This is everything we've been talking about this morning. Why do we praise? Why do we sing? Because he's great. Because he himself is the only living God. But look at the second half of verse 3. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. This psalm, Psalm 100, catches both of the things that we're dealing with this morning. We praise God because he deserves it. That's what the first half of the psalm says. He himself is God. Come before him with singing. And the second half of the psalm shows us It's not just that God is great. God is. But he's also good. He's also faithful. And he knows us personally. It says, he has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. Verse 5 says, his loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness. And I imagine that might be what we're thinking when we come together for a worship service. We praise God and we sing some of our hymns. Oh, worship the King, we sang earlier today. Because of who God is, we sing these songs. But there are other times where we're worshiping and we're thinking about our own lives. We think about what the Lord has done for me personally. You say, I have to say thank you. The Lord has taught me so much about what it means to be just, what it means to love people truly. He's forgiven me my sins time and again. And so we praise God because he deserves it. We praise God because he is good, because we have a relationship with God. He calls us his children, and we call him Father. Psalm 136 is another just excellent example of this. Psalm 136. This is a fascinating example of a call and response hymn. We have some of these that we sing in this church. We have the song, I Will Call Upon the Lord. It's split up. You know, the men will sing a line and then the women will sing a line. It goes back and forth the entire time. And this is how Psalm 136 is written. It's a really good one if you want to memorize one of the Psalms, because half of the Psalm is the same line. It gets repeated over and over. Start at the beginning with me. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him alone, who does great wonders, his loving kindness is everlasting. And you'll notice, all the way down to verse 26, the entire thing will say something about God and what he's done, and then the conclusion is said, his mercy never ends. There are some songs that have a lot of verses, and when I was less mature in my faith, we'd sing those songs and someone would say, we're going to sing, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, all six verses. And when I was young and foolish, I would say, oh, man, you know, that's a lot of verses. I imagine that might have been what it might have been like for some immature people when they would say, we're going to sing Psalm 136. And you think, oh, okay, you know, we're going to say the same thing over and over again. But is that not the life of faith? That my whole life through, I look at what God has done for me. When I'm young, when I'm old, when things are well, when things are going poorly. And the same thing is true, and I keep saying it over and over. His loving kindness is everlasting. God is so good to me. Every day I'm reminded of that. Every year. And so maybe it's repetitive, but that's what my life is, and that's the reminder that I need. We praise God because he deserves it. We praise God because he's good to us. He knows us. He's made himself known to us. Now, in the New Testament, we read about what Christians ought to do. There's a couple passages I'd like to read that talk about being thankful. The first is in Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to turn in your Bibles there. It's this relatively short letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. The apostle says, do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, always giving thanks for all things, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. This isn't a list of moral instructions for how Christians ought to live their lives. And notably, in verse 19, it talks about how Christians ought to worship. And this is a passage that we turn to when we think about why we sing and only sing in our churches. But one of the things you'll notice that is a necessary part of our worship is not just that we sing to each other, but as he says in verse 20, always giving thanks for all things. That when we come together as a church and when we worship, it is not to compete with one another. It is not to show God how good we are. It is not to complain. We come together as a church to be thankful. That has to be a central part of our worship. That we come and we praise God and we say thank you. We say thank you. He says always and for all things. There's a similar instruction in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. There are these short, easy to memorize verses. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 14 with me. He says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good, both for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In the passage we had read just prior, he says, in all things, in everything, we give thanks to God. And here in the passage we just read, he says, in everything give thanks, or some Bibles translate it, in all circumstance, give thanks to God. This is God's will for you. And I want you to think about that this year as we approach the holiday. Giving thanks in all circumstances. There are times where thanksgiving comes more naturally. When things are going well in our lives, it's a whole lot easier to be grateful. It's a whole lot easier to have a pep in your step when you're singing worship songs on a Sunday morning. When the sun is shining on your face and you're doing well and the people that you love are healthy and well, it's easy, and we give thanks to God. Whenever the economy's good, we have plenty of food on the table, we give thanks to God because he gives us all good things. We're grateful. As Christians, we give thanks to God in all circumstances, not just when it's good. Sometimes we're laughing until we cry, and we thank God for those times. Sometimes we just cry because we're hurting, because life is difficult. And we thank God in those times. Because whether we have an abundance or whether we are feeling the need in our lives, God sustains us every day. And we rely on him whether we realize it or not. On days when we are sick or injured, and it's hard to live life and do the things we do daily, we give thanks to God. Because even then, he takes care of us. He gives us people who check in on us. When money's tight, we don't know if we're going to make it work for the month, we thank God. Because he feeds the sparrows in the field, and not one of them lacks. And he has not forgotten us. We give thanks in all circumstances. I want to encourage you this year to take the time to reflect during the holiday. I know it gets very busy. I don't know what your plans are. Some people, you know, they try and hit three different meals on Thanksgiving Day. It's like no one has the time or a large enough stomach for that. But it's busy, and the whole weekend is busy. I mean, you've got stuff to do and people to see. But I strongly urge you to take even just a few minutes to be by yourself and to think about what this year has brought you. and what the Lord has done for you. And to remember that no matter what that list is, that we are people who are grateful. Because as a church, we're tight-knit. We're God's people. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We have a lot of reasons to be thankful for good blessings among each other at this church. We've had several people who have obeyed the gospel this year. We have several who have named the name of Christ and had their sins forgiven. We praise God for that. We've had people who've moved back to the area. We've had folks who have gotten married or had family who got married. When this year began, I was not a father, but the Lord has filled our cup overflowing. You think about all the things that have happened this year and you say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. God's been so good to us. But there are several people here who seem to be in a worse state than they were when the year started. There are several who have been hurt or sick in ways that they weren't at the beginning of the year. We've had some who've seem to have lost their way at times or have suffered some terrible loss. And we're grateful still. We're grateful. Because God is with us in the good and the bad. And the only way that we're going to make it through the difficult times is because God is merciful. The Lord's own brother writes in James chapter 1, James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. He said, blessed is the man who's in a trial and perseveres. A lot of times when we're going through the hardships of life, we don't say, man, I'm blessed today. You know, we get bad news and that's not our reaction. Even stranger, James says in verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. He says, consider it joyful when you go through trials, when life is hard, because it will make you a better person. This is what James says. It will grow you in ways that blessings do not. There's a depth of character that only hardship can give to us. If things were only ever good and easy, we would not be very strong. We would not be very patient. But the Lord is good at all times. When things are going well for us, we remember His grace and His love. When things are difficult, He teaches us humility and patience. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus Himself was perfected by the things that He suffered. You say, well, how could Jesus be more perfect? Obviously, He was sinless the whole time. But His life was completed by finishing the work, by staying the course. So remember each other. Maybe you fall in the category of having just a home run year. Things have just been really well for you, and they're well for you now. When you're sitting around the table with your loved ones and you're thankful for what God has done for you, remember those who have had a much harder year. Weep with those who weep. Call them up. Tell them that you're thankful for them, that they've stayed faithful through it. Remind them of the goodness of our God. If you're someone who's having a hard time and have had a rough year, appreciate it for what it will teach you. We're grateful for trials. We don't wish them. You know, we're not sitting on the edge of our seat just waiting for the next hardship to hit us. But we're grateful because God bears fruit in our lives by the hard things we go through. You know, I get it. I was in a pretty serious car accident a few years ago. And the recovery was really difficult, really, really terrifying, obviously. I'm not ever going to quite look the same because of what happened. But I wouldn't change it. You look back on your life and you say, do I have more of the fruit of the Spirit than I used to have? Am I more patient than I used to be? Am I more humble? No matter what it was that got me to that point, I'm thankful for that. Because God gives us treasures that don't age. He grows our character, and that cannot be touched. No matter what happens to us, no matter what we go through or how old we are, we lay up a treasure in heaven that does not perish. And we're grateful. We're grateful for those things. Just remember this year. If things are well, we sing for joy. If things are difficult, we sing in hope. Because our Lord has conquered death, and not even death can keep us from him. All of us will be raised one day. And by the Lord's grace, we will hear the words, "Enter in. You have stayed the course. You have finished the race." Until that day, let's be strong. Let's be there for each other. Let's love each other and be mindful. We're about to have an invitation song. And if you're not a Christian, you have God's patience to be thankful for. But you should not waste God's time. He gives all of us time to repent, to obey the gospel, to change our lives and confess his good name, to wash away our sins. If you have walked that path, if you are God's follower, if you are one of Christ's people, be thankful. Sing this invitation song, grateful for that day when you made that decision. The time is now, and God is always with us. If there's anything we can do for you, you can come up to the front while we stand, and we'll have our song.